Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shahid, and today we're going to be reviewing the new Netflix original movie, The Harder They Fall, right after this. Alright guys, welcome back. It's been a while, and today we're actually going to be doing something a little bit different. We're not doing any remake reviews. We're actually going to be reviewing a brand new movie that just dropped on Netflix. It is available as of today, November the 3rd, as of this recording. The movie is called The Harder They Fall. It's directed by James Samuel, with a screenplay from James Samuel, as well as Bose Yakin. The stars of this movie, my God, guys, this is one of the more star-studded casts I've seen in a long time. Leading off the pack, you've got our protagonist in Nat Love, played by Jonathan Majors. You've got the villain, Rufus Buck, played by Idris Elba. You've got Zazie Beetz, you've got RJ Seiler, you've got a small cameo appearance by Damon Wayans Jr. We've got Delroy Lindo, ladies and gentlemen. How can I forget Regina King, Lakeith Stanfield? We've got, in a great role, we've also got, let's take a look here, Edie Gategi. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But he's in it as well. We've got Danielle Deadweiler in a really cool, interesting role. It's full, guys. This cast is so stacked that it's almost ridiculous how stacked this cast is. The movie itself is a Netflix original. It released, I think, a few weeks ago on the festival circuit. It's dropping on Netflix November the 3rd, as of this recording right now. First of all, Westerns are my thing. I love Westerns. Maybe not as much as I should. I'm not as educated as I could be on the genre. I do love the old Sergio Leone movies, inspired by the Kurosawa movies. So I'm a huge fan of that. Oh, and coincidentally, Sholay, also sort of triple inspired from Kurosawa to Leone to Ramesh Sippy there. So there's definitely that Bollywood connection as well, that spaghetti Western element. I love Westerns. In recent times, I feel like we haven't done a proper Western. I remember the last huge one was the remake of, again, speaking of, The Magnificent Seven by Antoine Fuqua, I believe, with Denzel. Now, it's an interesting thing to talk about because in that movie, you had sort of a black lead being a cowboy with a cast of other diverse characters. Whereas the selling point of The Harder They Fall is the fact that it's an all-black cast in a story about all-black characters. And it's fucking amazing. Like, it is so cool to get this. It's almost like a reimagined world, an alternate take on a world where, despite the fact that this is Frontier Times, you know, you've got black characters as cowboys, marshals, villains, sheriffs, landowners, saloon owners. It's fucking amazing. And this is one of those things where you always think about when people always say, like, for example, the biggest argument about against Idris Elba being James Bond, people are always talking about the fact that, you know, well, James Bond is supposed to be an inconspicuous guy. He's a spy. So if a black guy was James Bond, you know, gallivanting around Europe, it would be kind of weird because there's a... And it's like such a bullshit reason, right? Because it's such a bullshit reason. Because you take a movie like this, where you take a look at these, you know, insanely great actors in this setting. And usually in this setting, you know, historically, in these kind of movies, black actors have always either been slaves. Sorry, black characters have always either been slaves, or they've been, you know, the token black character off to the side who's like a badass or whatever. But they've always sort of been, you know, a servant or, you know, some other historically accurate role from that time that somehow prevents them from being, you know, a badass cowboy, you know, which is weird because there's so much suspension of disbelief going on anytime you watch a movie, but somehow we're going to grate against the fact that a black guy is a awesome, charming, you know, super amazing cowboy protagonist, lead hero of the story. Like, that's so much bullshit. And again, that's the best thing about The Harder They Fall, because they take that and basically say, fuck you to everyone who's ever said that that's a thing, that black people can only be seen in XYZ ways in a movie at a historical time where they didn't do XYZ things. Bullshit. As much as I love Django Unchained, as much as, you know, as poignant of a movie as, you know, 12 Years a Slave was, and all these other movies about period settings where black people are always shown in a historically accurate setting, this I feel personally, I could be wrong, again, I don't usually talk that much about representation, but personally, this is the kind of movie where it's like, you can see how it doesn't matter. Like, you can, you know, talent is talent. And this is such an amazing movie. Like, the fact that this is an all-black story with all black characters is just so badass. And the talent they got for this cast is insane. You know, and again, like I said, I'm very usually ignorant about representation and things like that because for the most of my life, I've lived in a bubble. You know, I've lived with Bollywood heroes growing up, so I've never had to see myself represented in Western media because I've always had Bollywood. But in a time like now, where you've got things moving forward, like, you know, you've got actors like Dave Patel cast in a movie like Green Knight, where I'm pretty sure that Knight probably wasn't brown or probably wasn't of South Asian descent, but it's kind of cool that he was cast like that and that movie did so well and everyone loved him so much and Dave Patel's a cool guy, so why not? But it's really cool to see this, to see a movie like Harder They Fall, where it's all these characters, and guys, it's, they're not even playing characters that are like, the characters are all part of the traditional Western genre tropes. Like, it's amazing. You've got, you know, Idris Elba as Rufus Buck, the sort of quiet, brutal villain. You've got, you know, Jonathan Majors. And this is, guys, like, this is Jonathan Majors, you know, like, just establishing himself as a huge Hollywood lead. I mean, we loved him in Loki as Kang. I'm pretty sure he's going to be coming out in a lot more Kangs all across the MCU. If you don't know what I mean, check out the Loki series. Check out my other podcast, ComicEars.com, Comic Ears Podcast, where we recap all the Loki episodes and you'll know exactly why Jonathan Majors is going to be a huge player in the MCU going forward. But in the meantime, he's in this and he's amazing. And Zazie Beetz, she's been in Joker, she's been in Deadpool 2, but it's not until this movie where I stood up and I'm like, fan, yes, please. Insane cast. Getting back to the review, sort of, I'm spending a lot of time gushing about this. Getting back to the review, The Harder They Fall is a very typical Western movie. It's all about revenge. And in many ways, it's almost like a Bollywood movie in that sense, because the movie opens with a murder of a family. You quickly realize that the sole surviving member of that family is the young boy who grows up to be Nat Love, Jonathan Majors' character. And obviously the murderer is Rufus Buck, Idris Elba's character. And essentially the movie is about how the character of Nat Love essentially is on a revenge mission to sort of, you know, bring to justice the killer of his parents. Ultimately, some things happen. Rufus Buck is released from prison. He is pardoned. So he's reintegrated into society. Obviously, Nat Love cannot abide by this injustice. Therefore, it's all about revenge. That's all it is. It's a very straightforward story. If I had any complaint about this movie, it would be the fact that the story is almost overly simple. There's not a lot going on there. There's not a lot of layers of what's happening. It's exactly as I described. The motivations are clear, plain, simple. However, where The Harder They Fall shines is, you know, it's a good movie despite its story, not because of it. Despite this simplification of a story, there's so many things at work which are all related to the characters. It is a character-driven sort of massive adventure. like I said, we never question where things are going because it's pretty straightforward. You can see what's going to happen. You can see what the happy ending is going to be. But the journey to there is the most interesting part. And the fact that it's these characters, that to me is really what puts this movie over the top. The performances are insane. Jonathan Majors did his strong, silent, somber hero in Lovecraft Country. But he is so charming here, guys. Like, he is oozing charm every frame. And then when the story requires him to just turn it on and just get super serious, super dark, super emotional, gut-wrenchingly, you know, rageful and violent, and just, he does it. He does it brilliantly. You love him for it. It's amazing. Like, Jonathan, like, he's, if I wasn't already sold on Majors, I am firmly in the Majors camp right now. You've got Idris Elba, who doesn't do much. His depiction, his portrayal of this character is very much a quiet brutality. There's one great action scene in the beginning where he kills it. The rest of the time, he's really just brooding. And then there is a huge, huge monologue moment in the third act, which is brilliant. Regina King, my only thing is that Regina King does not get the screen time that she deserves, which, understandably, in a cast of so many people, something's going to get lost in the shuffle. It sucks that that was Regina King. I would have liked to see more of her, a lot more of her. She had an interesting story. I wish we explored that a bit more. I wish we explored her character a bit more, gotten some more details about her relationship with Rufus Buck. But that was sort of probably the only thing that was lacking. I'm also going to go with, like I mentioned earlier, Zazie Beetz is amazing. There is a sort of damsel in distress vibe in the second act, which I was like, okay, like I don't like it, but I can kind of make my peace with it. But other than that, the rest of the time, she's got agency. She's got her own backstory. She's got her own motivations throughout the story. She doesn't just succumb to being the girl in this male-dominated cast. Same thing for Regina King. She doesn't just settle for being, you know, the woman in the villain gang, which I loved. You've got RJ Seiler. I'm probably saying that wrong. Billy, my Blue Ranger from the Power Rangers reboot. He's great in here. He's super charming. He brings a lot of soul and heart to the role, almost as like a young Billy the Kid, sort of that trope of the young, brash, you know, wise ass kind of character, which is amazing. Lakeith Stanfield is probably the most interesting character in the whole movie. Stanfield always has this sort of super interesting vibe about him, and which he totally brings into this role where he's playing Cherokee Bill, the fastest draw in the West. Him and RJ Seiler's character have some sort of rivalry going on, so that's kind of cool. This movie is great. It does a lot. It has a lot of fun. Oh my God, guys, the style of this movie. I'm gonna bring up a comparison that people are gonna hate if you hated the movie I'm gonna compare it to. But Smoking Aces was this shoot 'em up, amazing modern day sort of epic style over substance movie, and in so many ways, The Harder They Fall, they do that too. It does that too. It focuses a lot on style over substance. The substance comes from the performance of the characters. The story is very straightforward, but the stylistic shootouts, the gun battles, the fight scenes, incredibly, incredibly well shot, very technically done. Director James Samuel does a great job directing the shit out of this movie. It's amazing. The soundtrack is insane. A lot of hip-hop, a lot of sort of modern-day mixes played over this frontier setting of people, you know, guns a-blazing in a saloon in slow-mo through the dirt and the sand and the griminess is something that I never knew I wanted until this. and I love that we got it. So that's kind of interesting. This was a great, a lot of fun. Like I said, not much there in terms of story. You're not going to get a lot of, you know, layers and layers and layers and waves of story to sort of keep things moving. But honestly, all the actors carry the movie on their own. The stylistic shootouts are amazing, super fun. The music just adds so much more depth to those performances, to those sequences. And at the end of the day, like, it's honestly, guys, it's sort of the best actors in our industry acting the fuck out of these performances. They're just killing it, literally and figuratively. So check out The Harder They Fall. It's premiering on Netflix November the 3rd as of this recording. And that was my spoiler-free review for The Harder They Fall. If you guys like this, I am going to be planning on doing a lot more movie reviews like these, quick snippets right off the bat. Subscribe to the Spiskin Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review and rating. It does help everyone else get a hold of this show. Keeps me motivated to do more of these, because like I keep saying, I've said before, podcast fade out is a thing, and it's you guys' motivation that keeps me going. So basically what I'm trying to say is, if I stop doing these, it's your fault. No, I'm kidding. No, don't. I'm sorry. You can get a hold of all my writing over at comicears.com. A lot of anime, a lot of movie reviews, TV reviews, and everything else. You can definitely subscribe and follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Shah Shahid. And until next time, I've been your host, and this has been an episode of the Spliff Screen Podcast.